If you'd open your Bibles with me this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. After he was crucified by the hands of sinful men and sealed in a tomb to rot. This morning we're going to be looking at Jesus. This morning is all about Jesus. Actually, whenever we get together, it's all about Jesus. We've been watching Jesus at work in the Old Testament in the lives of the patriarchs. And we've been realizing how in so many ways they are just like us. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But today we want to turn our attention directly to Jesus. We want to look at Jesus resurrected, Jesus exalted. We want to see who he is. We want to look at the greatness of his character. But in order to fully appreciate the glory of Christ exalted in the resurrection, we must go back to see Jesus in his humiliation as a man. We must go back even farther to see Christ before he was born in the stable in Bethlehem. This morning, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at who Jesus was from all eternity. We're going to look at Jesus in his humility as a man. And we're going to look at Jesus resurrected and exalted to the right hand of the Father. Before we dig into our passage this morning, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we need your help. We come to hear a word from you. And so I ask, I pray that you would take my weak words and penetrate hearts to transform by the power of your gospel. Lord, that's beyond my capacity. So I ask that you, by your Spirit, would be at work this morning in the life of each one that is here. Lord, change us. Make us new. Unleash your resurrection power in our hearts so that we could be transformed. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we would be made alive in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Lord, I pray that you would be at work this morning. We come hungry, we come asking, we come expecting you to do a work in our hearts. We come a needy people, sinners who need to be forgiven. And Lord, we thank you that our need is met completely in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've accomplished on our behalf. Pray that you would be at work this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind in you, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. First thing we're going to look at, we see Jesus was from all eternity God, equal with the Father. Paul says in verses 5 and 6, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." It says Jesus existed in the form of God. Jesus' being was the very being of God. Equality with God would be something that any created being would have to grasp at futilely, helplessly. Jesus possessed it by nature and by right. Equality with God. This is the proper understanding of this verse is clear from so many passages. Let's look just briefly at a few in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." John affirms that the Word was with God in the beginning. He is eternal. Interesting. Sorry about that. The Word is eternal. He identifies the Word with God. I guess that means you're going to have to go with me in your Bibles to these verses, because you're going to miss part of them. The Word was God. He identifies the Word as the Creator. Everything was made through Him. And He identifies the Word as the self-existent one, Yahweh, the one who is, the one who has life in Himself. And if we're wondering, who is the Word? Who is the Word? You go down to John chapter 1, verse 14. He makes it expressly clear who He's referring to. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is the Word, the self-existent Creator God, Yahweh, the all-glorious only Son from the Father. Look at John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple." Jesus here was claiming to be a contemporary of Abraham. In fact, He was claiming to predate Abraham. But in answer to their question, He changes the normal grammar of His sentence. He doesn't say, "I was before Abraham was." He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And the Jews understood what He was claiming. He was claiming to be the God of Abraham, the one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. "Tell the people, I am, has sent you." The self-existent one. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 30. " Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Now, I love the gospel narratives. The Jews take great pains to make sure that we get our theology straight. If Jesus' words weren't clear enough on their own, the Jews' reactions show us exactly how we are to understand Jesus' words here. Look at the next verses. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? I love his sarcasm. The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. I and the Father are one. You make yourself God. They accused him of blasphemy because he was claiming equality with God. Turn over to John chapter 17. One more reference that we'll look at here. There are so many more. We just had to pick a few. John chapter 17, verse 5. This is Jesus' prayer to the Father before he went to the cross. John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, is claiming that he was with the Father before the world existed. And he is claiming that he had God's glory, the magnificent display of his nature and his character. Now, lest we miss the significance of Jesus' prayer there, flip over to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I'll read that for you. It says, Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, and nor my praise to carved idols. Jesus prays, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. God says, my glory I give to no other. Yahweh is a jealous God who does not share his glory. Jesus is asking the Father to again put his nature and character on display so that he will be honored, so that Jesus will be honored and worshiped as God. This is an audacious request. Unless his statement earlier that he is indeed one with the Father is also true. So Jesus is the self-existent Yahweh, the all-glorious Creator God who breathed the universe into existence, equal to and one with the Father, Jesus, before creation. Next, Paul points us to who Jesus is in his humility. Philippians 2, verses 7 to 8. But made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus took the humble form of a servant. A human servant. The Creator became part of his creation. The potter became a clay pot. God, who is spirit, took on a mortal body of flesh. Let's look for a moment at his humiliation. You don't have to turn to these. I'll read some of these passages to you. First, he was conceived in the womb of a poor, unmarried girl. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Then he was born in a barn, placed in a feed box. Luke 2, verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus was homeless. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was misunderstood by his own family and by the people in his hometown. Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. They took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." Misunderstood by his own mother and his brothers. He was rejected by his nation. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus took the place of a slave toward his followers. John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. Taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He took the place of a slave. He was betrayed by a friend. He was captured by a mob that was instigated by the religious leaders of his day. Matthew 26, verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. He was abandoned by his closest friends. John chapter 16, verse 32. "Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." Jesus was arrested on false charges and then handed over to a foreign government to be executed as a criminal. John chapter 19, verse 6. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." He was humiliated. He was mocked. He was mistreated. Matthew 27, verses 28 to 30. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. He was ruthlessly beaten. Mark 15, 15. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him over to be crucified. Jesus was executed like a common criminal. And his executioners gambled for his clothing. Mark 15, verses 24 and 27. They crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. The humiliation of the eternal God come in flesh. There's more to it than what we saw with our eyes. We realize he accomplished something great. Jesus paid the penalty for sin that was not his own. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. Jesus was holy, sinless, perfect, but He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was abandoned by His Father. Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The author and sustainer of life died. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Luke 23, verse 46. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, He breathed His last. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Matthew 27, verses 59 and 60. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Jesus, infinite Son of God, Creator Yahweh, humiliated, came to earth in order to be mistreated on my behalf, so that He could take the wrath of God that was due to me, so that I could be forgiven and have a relationship with Him. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's the most important holiday of the year. Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus' crucifixion, His death, His resurrection. Christmas is important only because it was necessary in order to get to Easter. Good Friday is the central holiday we celebrate as we look at Jesus and what He accomplished for us. And then finally, Jesus raised and exalted. Back in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father answered Jesus' prayer. Remember, Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 5, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. The Father answered that prayer. He answered it in many ways. The Father exalted Jesus by making Him King and Savior, the only one whose right it is to grant repentance and forgiveness. Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him to His right hand as leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The Father exalted Jesus by granting salvation through Him alone. Acts 4:12. says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Father exalted Jesus by granting salvation through Him alone. The Father exalted Jesus by making His glory the illuminating message of the good news. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Father exalted Jesus by granting salvation through Him alone, by making His glory the illuminating message of the gospel. The Father exalted Jesus by making Him the means of our sanctification. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Father exalted Jesus by making Him the means of our sanctification. How do we do good works? We do good works because we are equipped to do His will as He works in us to do the things that are pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Father exalted Jesus by committing all judgment to Him alone, so that He receives the same honor that the Father receives. John 5:21-23. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. All judgment was committed to Jesus Christ. He is exalted to be the judge, and He is exalted to receive the honor due to the Father, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. The Father exalted Jesus by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His own right hand above every power, above every authority. Ephesians 1:20-22. He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. The Father exalted Jesus by raising Him from the dead, seating Him at His own right hand, a place of authority, a place of power, a place of privilege. He placed him above every power, every authority that exists is under the foot of Jesus Christ, our King. God glorified Jesus to receive worship as the Lamb who was sacrificed for our sins. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Now, this is worship in heaven. Something I'm really looking forward to. We've got, this is just the coolest thing ever. Around the God's throne, Jesus seated at his right hand, you've got living creatures. Now, you read Revelation, these are bizarre things. The voice of many angels. We have no idea what that's going to be like. Numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. I think he's trying to say there's a lot. I was looking around and there were angels as far as you could see. And they were all in unison, belting out, saying with a loud voice, the elders together. We don't know who they are for sure, but we got everybody in heaven, these bizarre living creatures, all the angels, the elders, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. What an awesome scene. I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, all that is, I think he's got it covered. Every creature everywhere that God has ever made, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Did you realize we were made to worship? That's why we were created, to give honor and glory and praise to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ. God glorified Jesus to receive worship as the Lamb who was slain. God glorified Jesus by highly exalting Him, giving Him a name above every name. A name to which every man, every angel, every demon, every created thing must bow. The tongues of men and angels and demons must all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is King. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow, either as sons or as captives. All will submit to Jesus Christ as Lord or as judge. There will be no exception. How do we respond to a message like this? Jesus Christ, exalted from eternity, humbled himself by becoming a man so that he could die in our place, pay the penalties for our sins. Now exalted, seated at the right hand of the Father, deserving of all our worship, all our praise. praise, deserving of all glory. Let us exalt Christ in our hearts. Believe, adore, love Him. We cannot lift Him up higher in heaven, but we may in our hearts. Let us exalt Him with our lips. Let us praise Him. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So our tongues must be the organ of that temple. By praising and commending Christ, we exalt Him in the esteem of others. Tell others about Jesus, how awesome He is. Let your tongue praise Him. Let your heart praise Him. Let us exalt Him in our lives by living holy lives. Not all the doxologies and prayers in the world so exalt Christ as a holy life. It makes Christ renowned and lifts Him up indeed when His followers walk worthy of Him. Let us exalt Him in our lives by living holy lives. Let us exalt Christ's truths. Let us maintain the truths of Christ against error. Let us maintain the doctrine of free grace as opposed to merit. You cannot earn your salvation. That disrespects what He accomplished, that dishonors Him and brings Him down. Let us maintain the doctrine of the deity of Christ, that He is fully God, against those that would dishonor Him and bring Him down. Let us contend for the truth as we would contend for great treasure. Christ takes it to be exalting Him when we exalt His truth. He says, "I am the truth." Christ takes it to be exalting Him when we exalt His truth, wherein His glory is concerned. Let our lives be a reflection through our heart's attitude, treasuring Christ above everything else, the expression that finds through our lips in praising Him, magnifying Him to others, and defending the truth of who He is. Let us exalt Christ together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for how great You are. Lord, what a joy it is to gladly bow our knee to one who is so worthy of our worship. We don't bow reluctantly or grudgingly to a bad king, to someone we grudgingly serve. We gladly bow the knee to a glorious Savior who doesn't lord it over us in a way that is hard, but You stooped down, became one of us. Became mistreated by us. We're completely humiliated, crucified, bled, died, so that You could forgive our sins with Your own blood. And You now are seated, exalted at the right hand of the Father in glory. And You're there making intercession for us. You are our advocate before the Father, standing in our defense. You are a great high priest who has entered the holy place with Your own blood. You are the one who has secured eternal salvation for those who simply put their trust in You. Lord, help us by Your Spirit to exalt You in a manner worthy of You. Lord, help us to live our lives in a manner that exalts You, that glorifies You, that demonstrates to those around that You are worthy of our devotion, of our adoration, of our affection. Lord, we pray that You would indeed have first place in our hearts. our hearts are so prone to run after other things, set up other gods in your place. God, forgive us. Draw us back to you as the one who indeed is worthy of all our worship. Keep us undistracted in our pursuit of you. Pray that you, by your Spirit, would take these truths and apply them deep within our hearts so that we would indeed be a people changed, transformed by the power of the resurrection which is at work in each one of us who believe you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray.